Assalamu alaikum, everyone. My name is Muhi Khwaja with American Muslim Community Foundation. And today on the Muslim Philanthropy Podcast, we have Tabari Zahir. He is the re-entry manager at Taiba Foundation. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How are you?
Doing well, alhamdulillah. And yourself?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So I want to give you an opportunity to share a little bit more about yourself. You can talk about where you grew up, kind of your background, family, whatever you'd like to include.
Alhamdulillah, bismillah. Yes, so alhamdulillah, I was born into a Muslim family. You know, my parents converted in the late 60s, early 70s. You know, there was a lot going on during that time. You know, I pretty much grew up like in there was a Muslim community, small Muslim community on the, you know, close to the East Coast. Learned about Islam from a, you know, very, very early age. But then everything was going good until I was put in public school, like right around the fifth or sixth grade. And then my worldview changed, right? And I have to explain all of that because, you know, it's going to have an impact in the future, which is going to cause me to become incarcerated. So, you know, I went into the public school. Like I said, my worldview changed. I learned, you know, this is in the inner cities, different places, but all in the inner cities. And you know what comes with that? There's poverty, a lot of bad habits. And there wasn't the infrastructure, the Islamic infrastructure then, like there is now.
Sure.
So, you know, to make a long story short, you know, I learned all of those bad habits, drug dealing, you know, hanging out on the corner, gang fights, all of those type of things. But I didn't immediately, you know, that's not what actually caused the incarceration. That's what caused the love of, you know, quick money, the love of, the love of the world, basically. But it actually caught up to me later, you know, when I was close to, you know, my late 20s, you know, I fell back into some of those old habits and I ended up incarcerated for 11 years and 3 months.
Wow. When you were released and kind of had to come back out on your own, you know, what was it that helped you kind of transition back?
Right. So, alhamdulillah, you know, while I was incarcerated, you know, I had an opportunity to finally just sit still and begin to learn my deen at a deep level. And I was self-motivated to actually change, to uproot those habits, to uproot the love of those, you know, different habits. And, you know, something that held me over for almost a decade was the Taiba Foundation, you know, and, you know, very generously, you know, they send in, you know, materials so that you can learn your deen, that you can study your deen. And they do it semester after semester after semester. Whatever you need, they send it to you. So that allowed me to, you know, learn my deen, spend my time positively. And then when I came home, you know, they helped me in a lot of ways. Alhamdulillah, you know, they gave me assistance in different ways. I would say another thing that helped me personally was that I went in as a Muslim. So I already knew how to navigate Muslim spaces. I already knew how to do that. There's a lot of Muslims, they become Muslim in prison. They don't know how to navigate Muslim spaces. They don't know how to go to the masjid and arrange a marriage. They don't know how to go get, you know, counseling from the Muslim community. They don't know how to ask the community for, you know, funds for deposits so they can pay their rent. Like, they don't know how to do that. So, alhamdulillah, that was facilitated for me. And immediately, alhamdulillah, you know, the Taiba Foundation, You know, they offered me a job to write, you know, a book, an intro to Islam that would be like an intro to the table curriculum, you know, just teaching the basics about Islam. So, you know, and it's about 200 pages. But alhamdulillah, you know, it you know, that job, you know, held me over for like 9 months. It held me over, gave me something positive to do while I was going to school, reestablishing my relationships with my children. You know, it was just all around positivity from the Tabor Foundation.
That's really great to hear. And we have a previous podcast with Sheikh Ramin Nasur, who goes into his background and kind of the origin of Tabor Foundation. And I'm really glad to see that, you know, not only are you a beneficiary of the organization, but you are currently working with the organization as well. So it's great to see that full circle with Taiba Foundation.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, absolutely. I cannot stress. So you know, just to give some context, there's over 2.3 million people incarcerated right now. All right.
Right.
Anywhere between 10 to 15% of them, they're Muslim.
Wow.
We're talking about they identify as Muslim. They're on the prison books as Muslim. There's a whole nother population that, you know, they have a sympathy for Islam. They lean towards Islam. They support Islam, but they haven't completely taken the steps to become a Muslim. So what you're talking about is almost 300,000 people. Like, this is a small city. Think about this.
Yeah.
There's a small city of Muslims all over this country, and they're not getting any help. Just think about that. They're not getting any help.
Yeah.
And so what the work that the Tabor Foundation is doing is completely indispensable. It's indispensable for the Muslim community. When we speak about, you know, what are we responsible for? What are we responsible for? The Muslim community is responsible for taking care of all of the Muslim community. This is fortifaya.
Right.
This is a communal obligation. And, you know, I would just encourage everyone to find out about the Tabor Foundation, support the Tabor Foundation, because they're actually taking a lot of the burden off of the rest of the Muslim community by doing this work.
Yeah, I think the way that you illustrate it definitely paints the picture of kind of like the unforgotten, like the forgotten Muslim, right? And it's unfortunate that it is that way. So I'm personally thankful for Tabor Foundation to make sure that Muslims who are incarcerated have resources and the ability to continue to learn and explore their faith and, you know, make that transition when they return to society as well. In terms of, you know, growing up in America as a Muslim, and even today, what would you say Black History Month means to you?
You know, the truth of the matter is, the truth of the matter is, you know, African Americans have contributed blood, sweat, and tears to this country.
No lie. Yeah.
Blood, right. The vast amount of wealth that was created in this country was created on the backs of Black people. The White House was built and staffed by Black people. The very first Muslim communities in this country were Black. They were, you know, Black Muslims.
Sure.
And so Black history is just a recognition, a small contribution, a small recognition, a small spotlight on some of those people, some of the works that they have done, and their contributions to the greater America. Now, as a Muslim, I'm very proud of people like Muhammad Ali,
Of
right?
course, yeah.
Very, very proud. Like, we are all proud of Malcolm X, right?
Definitely.
We are proud of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, all of these, brothers, have contributed to, social justice in this country, to the spread of Islam in this country. And I'm proud to be a part of that. I'm proud to say, number one, yes, I am African American. I'm also a Muslim, and I'm also, in my way, contributing to social justice. So, and that doesn't, I'm not disregarding all the other, African Americans who have made contributions. Of course, Martin Luther King, right? Rosa Parks, Coretta Scott King. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But this is a time when, we should be thankful, right? There's a hadith where the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Men lam yashkur an-nas, lam yashkur Allah." If they're not grateful to mankind, they're not grateful to people, then they're not grateful to Allah, right? So you have to be grateful for the work of Martin Luther King, because the work that he did and the people that supported him, they laid that foundation so that non-whites could migrate to this country,
Right, Civil
right?
Rights Act, yeah.
The Civil Rights Act would not be without, the work of Martin Luther King, the people who supported him, and
True.
there, and there was a time when you could not migrate to America unless you were white. Now you can migrate to America, and they don't take in consideration your race, your creed, your culture, your language, your background. So we have to be grateful. This is just one way every year of being grateful. That's it. That's how I see it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I think that, there was a talk given by Imam Zay Chaker on the legacy of Malcolm X, and it was called Passing the Baton, right? And the idea that all of these great giants in not only in the Muslim community, but also in the African American Black community have left such a legacy for us. And if we're not gonna continue it, we need to be carrying it forward to continue their legacy and honor their legacy through the work that we do every day. And I think that is a great example of what Teba Foundation is doing to make sure that those who are incarcerated, who are Muslim, are not forgotten and are continue to be supported. Can you tell us a little bit more about your role as a re-entry manager and kind of the support you provide in addition to some of the coursework that you've done?
Absolutely. Okay, so you have just to give an example, we've had over 2,000 students who has who was enrolled in the fall semester. Over 2,000 students all
Wow.
across America, male and female, at the jail level, the state level, the federal level. Okay. And alhamdulillah, they want to learn. Okay, they want to learn, but many of them don't have resources. So Taiba provides these resources for free with the support of the Muslims in general. But then the question is, okay, 95% of them are going to come home. How do we help them put what their knowledge into action? Okay. Because you have people that have been gone for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years. They don't know how to use a smartphone. Okay, some of them have mental health issues. They don't, all of their family died while they were gone. They don't know how to navigate the Muslim community. So how do we help them? We just say, okay, here's $200 and okay, go on your way. that would be a shame. That would be a shame. So alhamdulillah, you know, Sheikh Rami Ansour, you know, the board, you know, they supported this initiative. Let's, you know, create a program so that when the TABLE students come home, even if they don't come home to California, we can direct them to sources in their community.
Right.
Whether they're in New York, whether they're in Florida, whether they're in Colorado, wherever they come home to, we can send them a list here. You need to get your license, go here. You need some housing, go here. You need to get this, go there. So that's nationwide, that we try to locate resources for them. And we also try to locate sources, Muslim communities who are doing similar work. They understand the plight of the reentrant, you know, the person who's come home. Mm-hmm. And it can help facilitate that for them. So, for example, Iman in Chicago. I'm sure you've heard about Iman.
Of course.
And then they have a chapter in Atlanta. So we've done some work with them. You know, if I know somebody's coming home to the Chicago area, I know someone's coming home to the Atlanta area, I can immediately say, here, get in contact with this particular organization. Why? Because this organization knows their plight. They know exactly what happens when people come home to the inner city, and then they can plug them into the resources that they need. And we're trying to establish something like that, like in every major metropolis across the country. That's what we're trying to do.
Right.
All right. The other thing that we're doing, you know, right now is here in Southern California, we are establishing a center where when Muslims come home, and, you know, it's going to be expanded even for non-Muslims, okay, where when they come home, we will be, a one-stop shop. Like, you can come here and we will have the linkages. We will help you to navigate the system. You need housing, we will do the case management, we'll assess your needs, send you here for this, send you there for that, send you here for that, and provide in-house mental health services and substance abuse services, in-house. Life skill services, mental health services, substance abuse services, and that will be in-house. Myself, inshallah, I'll be graduating, with a master's in social work in about 3 months. I'll be qualified to, to administer those services myself. But inshallah, like, this is something that, you know, we're looking long-term. Like, this program, we're setting up the model, but it needs to be everywhere where there are Muslims and everywhere right. Where Muslims are coming home.
Yeah, I think these wraparound social services are so critical, regardless of whether somebody is coming from incarceration or not, just somewhere where people know where to get these services from as well. But I think even more importantly, in your case, helping that reentry and adjustment back into society is really critical to make sure, the challenges with recidivism and making sure that they don't go back. I think it would be fantastic to see Deba Foundation and Iman and other similar organizations that have reentry programs to really work with their local communities. There's the CIOGC is the Council of Islamic Organizations of Greater Chicago. There's the Shura Council of Southern California. There's the Northern Islamic California Council. And all across the country, there are dozens of these umbrella organizations that hopefully with partnership and collaboration, some of these wraparound social services can be replicated more easily. So really looking forward to Teba Foundation's growth and ability to begin a project like that so it could be a model for the rest of the community.
Inshallah. I mean, that's the plan. And with the blessing of Allah, you know, it's going to manifest because the need is there. It's clearly a need. And this is another thing, and this is what's personal. This is something very, very personal for me. A lot of times when we think about incarceration, okay, we think about, oh, they must have done something, right? Mm-hmm. And many times that's true. But what George Floyd has shown us is that there is this over-policing of Black and brown bodies.
Right.
There's this overcharging of Black and brown bodies, over-incarceration of Black and brown bodies. And there's no regard for their potential, no regard for their skill sets. You know, and as Muslims, what we have to consider is, you know, are we taking into consideration, you know, their ability to repent, right? Their ability to reform and be an asset to the community.
Right.
Right? How can we make them assets to the community? How can we do that? So this is perfect. The Taiba Foundation is making scholars in prison.
Wow.
And when they come home, they are able to, you know, tell the youth, because it's happening right now. We have people that come home, they've done 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And, you know, a lot of our youth are listening to the hip hop music that this person, he lived that life. This, you're just listening to the music, but he lived that life and he can tell you, I've been down that road. It's not a good place to be. All right.
Sure.
It's not a good place to be. So I can give you experience, but I can also tell you the Quranic and the Sunan proof, right? It's one thing when you go to the masjid and the imam can say, don't drink, don't do this, don't do that, but he has no experience. He has no experience.
Mm.
What about someone who can do that? Plus he can say, and I'll tell you why, and then tell his life. That's more of an impact.
Sure.
That's more of an impact. So I'm looking at it from that aspect. You know, I'm also looking at from the aspect, you know, I totally understand. Probably most of your viewers, like, they just don't have, you know, that experience. They don't know what it's like to be in a gang and end up in prison, to, you know, be in the streets and end up in prison. I totally get it. I totally understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, there is a... there are ways that they can find out and support it, right? I teach high school kids on the weekends. I teach them the seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I try to drive home to them, you have to be involved in social justice. I don't care. If you're going to be a doctor, you have to donate some of your time to the people who need you the most. It cannot just be about money.
Right.
Right, you have a higher calling than that, right? If you're going to be an engineer, you know, you've got to donate some of your time, you know, to build a Taiba, a beautiful building in Southern California, right?
Sure.
Whatever your thing is, donate your resources, donate your time, donate your skill set, you know, to contribute to improving the lives of people. You know, the community will thank you for it, and inshallah, Allah will bless you for it. So,
inshallah,
you know, that's how I see it.
Great. Well, is there anything else about Taiba Foundation that you would like to share with everyone?
You know, it's you know, every Muslim community, I don't care, even in the suburbs, okay? Every Muslim community has people that come home from prison, okay?
Yeah.
I don't care where you are, you know, there, you're going to have someone in your midst who has been to jail or has been to prison, is on probation, something. The question is, how are we going to help them? How are we going to help them? I mean, we all claim, if you're a Muslim, we all claim Malcolm X. And he says outright, you know, he got his master's and his PhD mm-hmm. in prison, right? Like, and we are, the Taiba Foundation is, inshallah, we are creating hundreds and thousands of Malcolm X's.
Right.
How are we going to plug them in? How are we going to utilize this resource? we can start off by supporting the Table Foundation, because this is the work that we're doing. And everyone benefits. Everyone benefits. I would hate for people not to know about the Table Foundation. I'm always surprised when I go somewhere and I say, have you heard of the Table Foundation? No, I haven't heard. You know, I'm like, not only we have to publicize more, we've got to get out there more, but Muslims have to be interested too. Muslims have to be interested.
Of course.
Who are the downtrodden? Who are the most downtrodden? Like, this goes all, I don't have to tell you, this goes back to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like, we know this. Who are the downtrodden? What do they need? Right? What do they need? وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. And they give out, despite their love of it, meaning their wealth or their resources, whatever, they give out. And then who? To who? Allah mentions the most downtrodden. Miskeen, the poor. Yatim, the orphans. And the prisoner. Right? It's clear. It's right there. We just have to pay attention.
Right.
And that would be my last message.
I appreciate it. And hopefully those who listen can learn more about the Taiba Foundation. I think it's a great resource and opportunity for people to send their zakat and make sure that they are fulfilling their obligation, that helps other people that need it. And the work that you are doing is continuously appreciated. And hopefully, again, you know, through Black History Month and showcasing different organizations that are uplifting Black leadership, Black thought leadership, and just continuing to center Black Muslim voices as well. We want to give that opportunity so that organizations like Taiba Foundation can continue to grow and be supported by the Muslim community overall.
I mean, may Allah make it so. You know, that's our prayer also, inshallah.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me, and looking forward to staying in touch.
Thank you for having me, Mohi. I appreciate it.
Of course. Like,